This sermon is brought to you from the pulpit of Parkway Baptist in Fort Oglethorpe, Georgia.
But I heard of a pastor the other week, and he was announcing immediately after the service they were going to have a board meeting in the back room. So after the sermon and the service was over, they went into the boardroom, and there was a person in there that was a visitor that they hadn't seen at the church before. And the pastor come up to him, and he said, "Sir," he said, "you know that these board meetings are just for church members and deacons and people of the church." He says, "You're just a visitor." And the visitor said, "Well, after that sermon I just heard," he said, "I was bored out of my mind and bored more than I could ever be, so I thought I was well qualified for this meeting." So I hope and pray that after my sermon, we don't have people assembling in the back for a board meeting. But now, what a joy and an honor and a privilege it is to be able to stand before you this morning. And we were singing and listening to all these songs about heaven, and what a joy that's going to be one glorious day to be able to be raptured out of here and go to heaven. And I thought about that, and I began to just get excited thinking about that there'll be no more joy or no more pain and no more sickness. And for me, one that really is awesome to me is knowing that the power and the chains and the sin that runs rampant in this world will be gone forever. And what a glorious day that will be. But as I begin to think about that, it also put me back in reality that while we long for heaven, how many of you know there's still a battle that goes on here on this earth? Each day we're in a battle. Each day we fight things. Each day we struggle with things. And as I began to think about what the Lord would have for us this morning, I began to think about, as a believer, a lot of times we can lose hope. And if I want to give you a sermon this morning, the title of my message is called "Hope When Your Life Seems Hopeless." And I meet so many people, Christians included, that walk around defeated. They walk around as if they have no hope, and they're discouraged and disappointed, and walk around like there's no meaning to life. And it breaks my heart, because I think we've got the answer right here. We've got hope found in the Lord Jesus Christ if we just tap into it. So if I can give you anything this morning, I want to give you three ways this morning how we can find hope when our hope is gone and our life seems hopeless. So if you got your Bible this morning, flip over to the book of John. John chapter 21, and if we'll stand for the reverence and the reading of God's Word. John chapter 21, and for the sake of time, I'm just going to read the first 5 verses. It says in verse 1, "And after these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and on this wise he showed himself. There were together Simon Peter, and Thomas called Didymus, and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, and 2 of his disciples. Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a-fishing. And they say unto him, We also go with thee. The Bible says they went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. And Jesus saith unto them, Children, have ye any meat? And they answered him, No. You may be seated. This morning I want to talk to you about how to find hope when life disappoints. And to give you a little backdrop of this passage, we know that this is when the disciples, Jesus had already came and been crucified. And we know that Simon Peter, a man that walked with Jesus, a man that understood the ministry of Jesus and understood what it was like and saw personally the miracles of the Lord Jesus Christ, had found himself in a place where he had failed God miserably. And he had failed God, and the Bible says that he had begun to revert back to his old way of life. And I can tell you, we can all agree in this room this morning that life can change in an instant. Think about it. Life can be going as smooth as possible, but I can tell you that in a blink of an eye, in a moment, life can turn upside down when tragedy strikes, when disappointments come, when failures come. When all this comes, there's no warning signs that are needed. And in a moment, life can seem upside down. And at this point, we're like, how did we get here? And what am I going to do now? And at this, when this happens, people begin to lose hope. People begin, when life disappoints, when life doesn't go the way we want it to go, we can lose hope in that situation. It's easy to do with the life that we live in. Life as we know it is a roller coaster experience. There's mountaintops experiences, and then there's valleys. And it's like once we get out of a valley, there's always a mountain, but then again, there's always a valley. And we can get so caught up in those things in life, when things don't go good, we can get discouraged and we can get disappointed. When tragedy strikes, not only can we lose hope, but sometimes a person can fall into such deep despair that they give up on life altogether. I've never in my life seen so many kids on the news at the age of 10 to 12 to 14-year-old kids that come to a point in their life where they think there's no hope and they think the best alternative is just to end their life. What a sad day we live in when kids that hadn't even started out on a journey in life are taking their own life because they're bullied at school and all these things that are factoring into their life. And they get to the point where they think life's not worth living and they end their life. What a sad thing that is. Because to me, I think about this and I think if they only knew that there is hope this morning in the Lord Jesus Christ, if somebody would have just told these kids before they ended their life, and it breaks my heart to see kids all over this world ending their lives at such a young age. But the discouragement and the disappointment, all this begins to settle in on us, and a person can lose hope. But in these circumstances, when we find something, we're looking for something. When life seems to be going in a disarray, we're all looking for something to cling to. We're looking for something to find hope in. And the Bible says that if our hope is only in this life, Paul said, we're of all men most miserable. I'm thankful this morning that the only hope I have is not in Washington, D.C. I'm thankful this morning that my hope ain't just in another person, because how many of you know people can let us down? People can disappoint us. But I'm glad this morning that my hope is anchored in the rock, the Lord Jesus Christ. But as I thought about this and I thought about this passage this morning, here's a man, Peter, that he's not dealing with disappointments in somebody else. He's not dealing with a situation or a tragedy that has struck. He's dealing with something that's harder to deal with. And the hardest thing for us to deal with in this life is our own personal failures. You see, I meet people day in and day out, and if you ask a person about their self, it doesn't take long for someone to begin to brag about the good they've done. You see, I meet people and they're like, well, guess what I did at school? I got this award, or I did this, or I got this promotion on the job, or look what I've done. But you know, one of the hardest things for us to admit as a person is when we fail. When we fall short, when we fail someone, that's one of the hardest things to do. But that's one area we all struggle with in our own personal life. And the best thing we try to do is either hide it from somebody or try to sweep it under a rug and not deal with it. And can I tell you, when you begin to do that, you will not find hope when you begin to just try to sweep things aside. And here we are, we've got Peter. And I can tell you that when Peter, here's a man that if anybody should have never failed, and if anybody knew what to do that was right, it was Peter. A man that walked with Jesus. But can I tell you this morning that no matter who you are or how old you are, there's going to come a point in time in your life when you do fail. When you do let God down. And I can tell you this morning, when you get to this point, that's one of the hardest things we struggle with. And we begin to beat ourselves up because we think, why did I do this? Why did I do this? And what I can tell you is when you get to that point in life when you're so discouraged and you're so down and out because of your own personal failure, let me tell you who's going to come along and try to make things worse. At that point when you're down and out, Satan's going to come by and he's going to start whispering some things in your ear. You'll be like, look what you did. God will never use you. God will never forgive you. And we get to that point, and when Satan has us down and out and Satan has us bound in our own personal failures, can I tell you, we're of no use to the Lord because we're so bound out and handcuffed spiritually in our own personal failures. But I come to tell you this morning that no matter who you are, Listen to me this morning. Satan's a liar. And one of the biggest lies out of the pits of hell is that God can never use you and God can never restore you, because it don't matter who you are this morning. It don't matter where you came from. It don't matter how far you've gone. You are never too far from the hand of God. God can restore you. God can use you. God can take the brokenness of a broken life and he can mend that together and create something beautiful in that, in our brokenness. And I can tell you this morning, as he found, there's no satisfaction living in the brokenness of a bad decision. You see, when you get to that point, when you're broken and you're discouraged about something you failed in, that's one of the most miserable situations we can be in as a person. There's no satisfaction in that. But I can tell you, we can find hope this morning in the Lord Jesus Christ. And there's not a single person that's gone too far that Christ can't restore. If you believe that this morning, say amen. The Bible says over in the book of Hebrews, chapter 19, of verse 6, it says, which hope we have as a church, here's our hope. Which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, which entereth in that within the veil. Because of what the Lord Jesus Christ did on the cross of Calvary, we have hope this morning in the Lord Jesus Christ. And this morning I want to look at the life of Peter. And I want to see a man, I want you to understand that this is a man that walked right beside the Lord Jesus Christ day in and day out. He understood what it was like to see the power of God. He understood what it's like to see miracles happen. But yet this same man found himself failing the Lord. So what that tells me is, you know what? We're not too good that we can't fall into this same situation and fail the Lord. But if we turn into our Bibles in John 21, I want to give you three things this morning. The first thing I want to give you, hope is found by, number one, coming clean with God. You see, if you want to find hope this morning, you've got to come clean with some things. When you're still at the point where you're pointing the finger at everybody else for your own mistakes, can I tell you, you're not going to find hope. When it's always somebody else's fault, or you're blaming it on your upbringing, or you had a bad home life, or you was raised in the wrong side, or you had all these, and you begin to make excuse after excuse after excuse for why you make bad decisions. When you're in that situation, you're not going to find hope. But when you begin to get to the point and realize, you know what, I'm in this situation I'm in because of my decision. And when that finger comes and starts pointing back at the real problem, it's at that point when we come clean with God, hope can be found. And I'm thankful for that this morning. But look what it says in verse 5. Here's these disciples. And as Peter, the disciple that's denied the Lord, he's got to a point where he's just broken about what he's done. He's so upset, and he thinks, you know what, God will never use me ever again. I've failed too miserably. God can never use me. God can never do anything with my life. So you know what, I'm just going to go back to my old way of life. We know that Peter was a fisherman by trade before he began following the Lord. And he had got to a point of such brokenness and such desperation and such discouragement that he said, you know what, God will never use me again. I'll just go back and do what I used to do. And it says, Simon Peter said unto them in verse 3, I go a fishing. They say unto him, we also go with thee. Now you see, this isn't Peter saying, I'm going out for some recreational fun. I'm just going to go out and wet a hook and try to catch a fish. No, he's saying, you know what, I'm to a point in my life where I'm so far messed up that I'm just going to go back to my old way of life. And he goes on to say that they went forth and entered into the ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. So if things wasn't bad already, now they just got worse. Imagine the frustration of Peter. Here's a man that understood how to fish, because if he did this for a living, obviously he knew how to catch fish. But here he is so beat up and beating himself up because he had failed the Lord. But now he goes back to something he used to be good at, and he can't even do this. He can't even catch fish. The Bible says they were out all night, and they caught nothing. So imagine how upset Peter is. I bet he's beating himself up thinking, you know what? I can't even do the things I used to be good at. Can I tell you, when you're a child of God and you get to this point where you're failing and you think that you need to go back to your old way of life, can I tell you, that's a miserable place to be. The first thing Christians do, and it always amazes me, when they mess up and they fail the Lord, the first place they want to abandon is the church house. What a bad mistake. And they go back to their old way of life. Can I tell you, there's going to be no satisfaction found out there. The satisfaction and the hope and everything you need is found right here in the church house. And as Peter's out there, it says they toiled all night and caught nothing. But when the morning had now come, Jesus stood on the shore, and the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Here's a chance where they came clean. Then Jesus saith unto them, children, have ye any meat? And they answered him, no. Can I say, as I begin to read that passage, I think about here's these guys that had caught nothing all night. And I wrote down in my Bible, the old ways of life leave us empty. The old ways of life, there's no satisfaction apart from the Lord Jesus Christ. But these guys had a chance where they were able to come clean with the Lord. You see, they could have said, he asked if they had any meat, had they caught any fish. They could have made excuses. They could have been like, well, we had a net full, or we had the right bait, and all this was going good, then the net broke. So we've had some good chances, some good opportunities, but we just ain't got none yet. And I meet people like that when they are bound and they're broken inside, but on the outside they try to carry on this mask, and you ask them how they're doing, and they seem to think, they want you to think everything's okay, but deep down they're broken. Deep down they're hurting, but it's like they just don't want you to know that. But here's a chance where they were able to come clean with God, and they basically answered the Lord and said, you know what? This old way of life is awful. This is not what we want, and ultimately, we hadn't caught a single thing. And did Jesus need to know if they had caught fish? This is God. He's omniscient. He's all-knowing. But he's giving them a chance to come clean with the Lord. The same thing with us. A lot of times, we don't want to go to God with our mistakes or our failures because we think we're going to disappoint him. God already knows. But what he wants us to do, he wants us to get to a point where in our brokenness, we're able to come and lay them at his feet and come clean with him and let him restore us and let him use us and bring us back into the fold. But like the disciples, they had to come to a point in their life where they say, you know what, I'm tired of hiding it. I'm tired of playing games. I'm going to come clean with God. And at that point, that was the first step to them finding the restoration they need. Not only that, but secondly this morning, hope is found in intimacy, not intellect. You say, what do you mean by that? Look what the Bible says in verse 14. The Bible says in verse 14, I'd read this passage so many times and just completely missed this. It says, this is now the third time that Jesus had showed himself to his disciples after he had risen from the dead. And amazing enough, this isn't the first time they had seen Jesus Christ. And the first time I read that, I just thought, well, this is the first time. But this is the third time the Bible says that they had seen Jesus, but they were so broken and so beaten up in their own failures that they thought that even though Christ is alive, I would love to be with Jesus again, but I've failed so bad that God can't use me. God can't restore me. So they knew that Jesus was alive, but that wasn't enough. And can I say to you this morning that just knowing the facts about the Lord Jesus Christ is not enough. Just knowing the facts about Jesus and who he is and what he's done is not enough. Just knowing a few Bible verses is not enough to get you through the trials in this life. The Bible says that even the demons know the facts of Jesus. Even the demons know about Jesus, but the Bible says that as a believer, we want something more than that. The Bible says in Philippians 3 that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. You see, it's that relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ that separates us from the world. You see, a lot of people know about Jesus, but we have that intimate relationship with him, and we begin to become intimate with the Lord Jesus Christ and just get past all the facts and the intellect, that's where we'll find our hope that we need this morning. And notice the setting. The Bible says In verse 12, it says, Jesus saith unto them, come and dine. And none of the disciples durst ask him, who art thou, knowing that it was the Lord. Jesus then cometh and taketh bread and giveth them, and the fish likewise. And what amazes me about this passage, I begin to read, the Lord began to impress on my heart. What amazes me, when Jesus is standing on the shoreline, here he is, he had done told the disciples, if you just cast your net on this side, you'll find the fish. And the Bible says when they obeyed the Lord, that they had enough fish that the net almost broke. And here they are dragging these fish onto the shore. And here's Jesus standing at the shore, knowing that they had failed him. Here's Jesus knowing that they had let him down. And what amazes me is here's the Lord standing on the shoreline. And when they come up, one thing Jesus did not do is Jesus did not rebuke them. Jesus didn't take their failures and dangle them in front of their face and say, look what you guys did. How could you do such a thing? How could you fail me? He could have, but you know what? He did not put his disciples on blast. Basically, all he did was, and the Bible says in verse 12, he says, come and dine. And when I read that passage, it began to break my heart because I think about how the Lord, knowing our failures, how God knows the many times we let him down. None of us in this room this morning would like to admit the many times we let Jesus Christ down each and every day of our life. But here's our Lord knowing we failed him, knowing we let us down. But one thing he does not do, he does not throw our sins in our face. And I'm thankful this morning that the God of heaven doesn't throw my past in my face. Because I beat myself up enough about the past mistakes. But Jesus Christ is not concerned about throwing our past up in our face. He's more concerned about getting us help and getting us hope. And that's what the Bible says. He says, come and dine. And what amazes me also at the same time is he was able to use what they had. The Bible says that he used their fish. And it's amazing to me that God would want to use something we have. What little we have to offer him, he wants to use. And it's amazing when I think about that God can use somebody like me to do something for him. And it says that he prepared the fire for his disciples. And he was able to use their fish that he had just told them where it was. Did Christ need those fish? Jesus didn't need those fish. I began to think about that. Here's God himself. If he wanted to call down McDonald's or Taco Bell, all he had to do was snap his fingers. He's God. But you know what? He took what little they had and was able to use it. He took what little they could provide and used it for his honor and his glory to show them that he could use them despite their brokenness. And I thought about the many times in my life when I've come to the Lord broken and empty with not much to offer. And here this morning, how many of us has found ourselves in the brokenness of our own failures, and we come to the Lord with all the little bit that we can offer him, but you know what? He doesn't turn it away. He takes it. He takes the broken pieces. He takes the messed up lives. He takes the broken marriages, and he begins to mend them and use them for his honor and for his glory. And it amazes me, like I said, that he uses their fish and their little bit that they could offer, and he uses it for his glory. But thirdly this morning, let me give you this in closing. The last way we can find hope this morning is responding to his calling. Responding to his calling. Look what the Bible says in verse 12. It says, Jesus saith unto them, come and dine. In verse 17, and we're going to skip through, and then we get to this point in the passage. And here's Peter, face to face with the Lord Jesus Christ. Here's a man that had messed up. Here's a man that at one time understood what it was like for the power of God to be on his life. But he had gotten to a point where he's so broken in his own failures. And here he is face to face, eyeball to eyeball with the Lord Jesus Christ. And at any time, Jesus could have rebuked Peter, but he gave him a dialogue. And he says, Peter, do you love me? That's all he said. He didn't say, Peter, I know what you did. He didn't say, Peter, I saw you failed me. He didn't say, Peter, I told you you were going to let me down. All he asked was, Peter, do you love me? And as Peter is sitting there, here's a man broken in his own sins, broken over what he had done. And he says, Lord, I love you. And if you study it out in the Greek, all he's saying is, Lord, I can't love you like you just showed me on the cross. All my love compared to yours is a friendly love. And Jesus begins to go on, and he asked him again, Peter, do you love me? Peter says, yes, Lord, you know I love you. The Bible says a third time, he asked, Peter, do you love me? And look what Peter says in verse 17. Peter was grieved because he said unto him a third time, lovest thou me? And this is the point where Peter was able to come clean with God. God wanted Peter to say, get to that point that he was so broken that he just pours out his heart to God. And he says unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest I love thee, Jesus. And Jesus said unto him, feed my sheep. What Peter was saying is, Lord, you know I've messed up. Lord, you know I've let you down. You know I've failed in my life. And as Jesus is saying, we know Jesus didn't die for perfect people. Jesus is understanding where Peter's at. Jesus says, you know what? I didn't die for perfect people. Peter, I died for your failures. I died for your broken life. I died for your bad decisions. I died for all these things. And Peter, if you'll just come to me, and if you'll lay these at my feet, I can use you. I can restore you. And here, just in one chapter, at the beginning of a chapter, we find a man broken. We find a man that thinks that God will never use him again. And at the end of the chapter, all he had to do was come in contact with the Savior. And at the Savior's feet is where he was able to find hope. At the Savior's feet was it where he was able to find restoration and where he was able to find what he needed. And that's the same place that I don't know who in this room, you could say, you know what, that's me, Justin. You know what, I failed God. I failed in my marriage. I failed as a parent. I failed as a child. You know what, that's me. But can I tell you this morning, we can find that same hope. That hope wasn't just for Peter. That hope was for each and every one of us this morning. And all we have to do is come clean with the Lord and say, you know what? I need that help. I need that hope. And the same invitation that was given to these guys that day on the shore is the same invitation that Jesus Christ extends to each and every one that'll hear his voice. And that same invitation is where we can come and respond. What I love about the Lord is he gives us the choice. He doesn't force himself upon us. He gives us the choice and the opportunity to come on our own and make with our free will. But the invitation is there. How will we respond? Are we going to sit here in our brokenness? Are we going to sit here in our failures and let the devil to continue to beat us up and beat us up? Are we going to come and say, today is the day I want to find that hope. Today is the day I want to find that restoration. And I can promise you, when you get up and you make that decision to come do that, Jesus Christ will meet you at that place, and he will restore you, and he will use you again. And as Brandon comes to the piano, let me give you this in closing. We read about this, and the story ends out, the passage ends out with Jesus telling Peter. He says in the end, he says, after he told him, I love you, he says, feed my sheep. What he's saying is, Peter, you know what? You understand what it's like to be broken. You understand what it's like to fail you, but now it's my turn. Now it's my turn to use you. And as I begin to wonder about that, I begin to wonder, so what happened? What happened with Peter after this encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ? And I flipped over just one book over to Acts. Chapter 2, verse 14. Here it is on the day of Pentecost. And we know that thousands and thousands were gathered around on the day of Pentecost. And I love what the verse says. It says in verse 14, but Peter. And I read that and I was like, well, maybe it should have been John. Or maybe it should have been one of the other disciples. But no, the Bible says Peter. Here's Peter. A man that just had failed Christ, but you know what? Christ chose Peter to be the one to stand in front of those people on the day of Pentecost and preach with fire and preach with unction in his heart, because here's a man that understood the forgiveness of God. Here's a man that understood how God can take a broken life and how God can restore it. And here's a man with the power of God that was able to preach that day, and thousands came to know the Lord Jesus Christ. And here's a man that God chose because he knew what it was like to be forgiven. And I think about that, and I thought about what a joy and an honor, because all of us have experienced God's forgiveness. I think about the times in my life when I made a complete mess of my own life. And ashamed and embarrassed as I was, every single time I've been able to come back with the broken pieces of a broken life and lay them at the feet of Jesus. And he doesn't take that and throw it away. He doesn't take that or take me and put me up on a shelf and say, you know what, I can't use you. You've messed up too bad. You know what he does every single time? He takes those broken pieces and he begins to mend them back together. With the Master's touch, he can take that broken life. He can take that broken marriage. He can take our failures and our mistakes. If we'll just bring them to him, bring the broken pieces to the Lord, and he can make it beautiful once again. Like the song says, he can take broken and make it beautiful. But here's the challenge for you today. The invitation that was given, they could have sat there and they could have said, you know what, I'm not going to respond. If Peter would have never responded to the calling of the Lord Jesus Christ that day, we probably would not be reading about Peter on the day of Pentecost. But you see, God could have used somebody else. But because Peter was willing and broken and obedient to the calling of the Lord Jesus Christ and understood that even though he had failed, Jesus wanted to forgive him. Jesus wanted to use him and restore him. And because he was obedient, because he responded to the call, God was able to use him. So what are you going to do this morning? Are you going to sit there in your brokenness, knowing there's no peace, there's no joy, there's no satisfaction? And all you have to do is bring that to the altar. And that's where you find your hope. That's where you'll find your help in the Lord Jesus Christ. And he's standing here with arms wide open. He doesn't turn a single person away. But the question is, it's up to us. What are we going to do? How are we going to respond? Are we going to get things right with Jesus Christ this morning? Or are we going to walk out these doors broken and defeated as broken, defeated Christians? God's never intended for us to walk around defeated, because we've already got the victory in the Lord Jesus Christ. How are we going to respond? What are we going to do this morning? As they sing, this altar's open.
Thank you for listening. For more information about Parkway Baptist, please visit our website at www.parkwaybaptist.me. That's www.parkwaybaptist.me.